Lead Story is proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, insight, advice, impact.
What are some of the challenges that have been identified between funds and providers, and what measures are in place to address them?
Well, when you look at the structure of medical aid funds, quite often a fund is misunderstood by many, in the sense that when members, who looks after the interests of members at the fund level, members of each fund may elect a board of trustees, which is composed of members at the fund level. Boards of trustees are responsible at the fund level to manage the affairs of that fund. What then they would do is that they would appoint a principal officer who is just like a CEO, responsible for the day-to-day management of a fund.
Mm-hmm.
Now, unfortunately, all our seven funds are not self-administered. What then they do is that they would outsource the administration function to another entity, which is a business entity, and these entities are administrators. I think we have five or four of them who are managing the operational day-to-day affairs of funds. Now, administrators, they would look at the utilization by funds in terms of the appropriateness and the level of care that members are receiving. They look at member records. They then apply the fund rules when they are adjudicating claims, having in mind what the number of billing rules and guidelines are saying on the various coding structures that we just spoke about.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also handle member queries and everything. Therefore, they are paid for the services, for administration services that a fund is rendering. And that understanding is quite necessary in our market.
Mm-hmm.
Because they seem to be a misunderstanding as to who is who in terms of how healthcare ecosystem is set up. But really, everyone else who is in this space is subject to the laws and regulations of this country under the Minister of Health and Social Services. Because we are talking about public funds. And the person that needs to be protected is a member in the entire scheme of things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, from the numbers point of view, we are also having a board which is called the Management Committee. Now, this Management Committee is constituted by seven members that are elected by authorized representatives. Now, that group of people is a nomination in terms of the, by all the funds. You nominate a group of people according to the number of members that the fund would have. Now, usually we have about, I think, 14 or 15 authorized reps, from which then members of the management committee are elected. Now, once are elected, they become the management committee of NAMAF. They become subject to the Medical Aid Fund Act itself. They no longer carry interests of a constituency where they are coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Because then they start to serve the whole industry, not a fund, it's the entire industry together.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, they start to all their judicial responsibilities to NAMAF as an entity, subject to what the Medical Aid Fund it says, as anything what they are supposed to do. Now, this system is not unique to NAMAF. If you go to, under the Health Professions Council, there are five councils in the five disciplines. Each council would have a law, for instance, psychologists, dentists, and everyone else. Now, parallel to what I just spoke about now, it is practicing providers or doctors and specialists in each of those disciplines, equally, who are composing the various councils under the health professions council. Now, the point I'm trying to make is that when one is elected to an office where the official responsibility by virtue of an act to an entity they serve, they no longer serve their own personal interest, but they start to serve an interest that is bigger than themselves. Because that is a position of responsibility, it's a position of leadership, it's a position of governance, to serve the interest of everyone in that space. So this is how this industry is structured. Now, as far as NAMAF is concerned, our day-to-day management, our MC would appoint a CEO who is the accounting officer and also the head of administration where we are reporting to. Now, at the end of the day, NAMAF management committee is accountable to the Minister of Finance, like any other entity, through the annual report, which is open, where our finances that are audited are being displayed to the public, and we also account to what to the activities from our strategy, our annual plans, what it is that we did and how it is that we spent, how we use the money that we are receiving from the public. Therefore, the system has its own internal checks and balances to ensure that there is nothing hidden about it. We must account to the public that has given the mandate to the entities that we are serving.
What are your thoughts on the current policy and legal framework challenges?
The Mental Health Fund Act is of 1995. In actual fact, this act was built upon the principles and mischiefs that existed in 1967 prior to independence. It was only, there were some few alignments and changes in 1995. Now, that was barely 5 years after independence. Now, the contemporary challenges that we are having now in healthcare, technology has come about. These things were not foreseen in 1995. For instance, in 1995, you can count how many providers of healthcare services were in this country. There were only a few of them were in here. There was scarcity of professionals at every corner in the healthcare delivery system. Equally, when we look at where we are now, our legislation is almost probably more than 25 years old. It's no longer serving the realities and challenges that we are having now. And therefore, there is a need for reform to ensure that these legislations are current to deal with the challenges that the industry is faced with now at the moment. There are already a motion in place through the relevant Minister of Finance, Minister of Health, to attend to the realities that we are facing, because they are the lawmakers, they are responsible to deal with aspects when a legislation is outdated or is no longer serving the purpose that it was meant for. So those motions are in place. I mean, legislative reforms takes time. It's not something, it's a process. It doesn't take, it's not a page that you open now. Tomorrow you have already changed the legislation. Therefore, there are serious efforts in trying to have a steward to handle the amendments or coming up with new legislation in totality.
So that's
really where we are.
So then for those who need clarity, you know, on certain issues or services or just general inquiries, how can they get in touch?
We are a collaborative entity. We value the views of our stakeholders. We want to meet the stakeholder expectations. Then what we have done now, we have launched our social media page. We have Instagram and Facebook. We are encouraging our stakeholders to follow us on Facebook, on Instagram, so that they can raise as many questions that are as necessary as possible. Our information on our website is greatly available. We have email addresses where we handle complaints from members, from providers. We have also created structures internally here, which are segment-based. And one of the structures that we recently launched now is a structure, it's a forum of providers of healthcare services in this country. They are all welcome either through associations or in the individual capacity. We need to sit down on the table and talk about the issues and challenges that we are facing with a view of creating a system that is not only the sustainable now, but it's a system that should be able to take care of us in eternity, for that is. We can only improve by collaborating and communicating.
Now that was Mr. Brian Chaka, the head of corporate services at NAMAF. Thank you so much for taking time to talk to us.
Thank you very much.
The lead story was proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, insight, advice, impact.